Oh, nice. Someone left a sweet tart for me. Sweet. Thank you. You can go ahead and turn to, where are we going? Colossians chapter 3, if you would. I probably shouldn't have ate that. Now I can't talk. I'll try to get us all out of here on time tonight. And the key word is try. So, try it.
Trying is lying.
Trying is lying. You either do or you don't. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. So I just want to start off tonight with a question. Where are you living? Where are you living, Christian? Where are you living, Super Dave? Good answer. I wasn't sure what I would get from that question. The Christian, as Scripture tells us, resides in heaven by faith. So where do we reside? Where's our home? Our habitat? Our shelter? Our sanctuary? How about abode? That's a good one. I like that one. Ooh, how about dwelling? There's a lot of words to define to describe what I'm bringing out tonight. The definition of dwelling. Boy, I really shouldn't have eaten that. The definition of dwelling. Live in or at a specified place. To think, speak, or write at length about a particular subject. So do the Scriptures talk about these things? Do the Scriptures talk about dwelling or to dwell? Yeah, quite a bit. Some of it was actually brought out this morning. We'll turn to Colossians 3 to start. And in verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then, which was brought out this morning in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Would you please pray with me? Dear Father God in heaven, we come to you with great thanks and praise as always. We of all people in this world have the most to be grateful for we've been given the mind of Christ. And it's our duty, it's our job to walk in that, to take advantage of the blessings that you have given us. And a lot of that, from what Scripture tells us, will come from a mindset, a focus, a vision of where we are headed. And so I just pray tonight that you would help me to convey the words from your Scriptures accurately, that they might encourage the brethren here this evening and listening online, and that we would have the right perspective, a perspective that is a spiritual one and not of a fleshly or earthly one, and that we would consider these things and live by them and walk by them. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. So we need to focus on these things. Live in these things. Abide in these things. So what does that mean exactly? Can we live in good repute? Can I take up residence in truth? Well, physically, not really. But spiritually, you bet. And what do I really mean spiritually? Well, Scriptures would say by the inner man, in the heart of a man. So what does that mean, the inner man? Does that mean stomach and intestines? That's gross. What, the heart of a man, what does that mean? Is that referring to the blood-pumping heart, that muscle in our chest? Ugh, that's just gross. No. That's not it. So, again, maybe it's referring to the mind of a man. Yeah. Yeah, that must be it. So it's the brain, right? Is it talking about the physical brain? The physical brain, which is said to be like a supercomputer with millions of neurons processing seemingly endless information. Is that the mind? That's not really the mind, is it? That's a physical, fleshly thing. The mind isn't a fleshly thing, is it? The mind is the result of this brain processing information. The inner man, or the heart of the man that scriptures talk about, is constructed in the processing of information. Information that we choose to put in to the brain by various means, by words, audible and written, and various things. In turn, worldviews or world paradigms are formed. Beliefs are formed. MO, modus operandi, which is the mode of operation or working. The mind set, and whatever the mind is set on, the flesh soon follows. We know that. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, a verse where most of us are familiar with, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." And throughout history, men and women have lived and died by what they believe and what they think. So why such emphasis on beliefs? Why such emphasis on the mindset? Well, primarily because that's what scriptures emphasize. Which brings me to our next word, abide. The definition of abide, act in accordance with. Or how about abode? A place of residence, a house or a home. Because we all know that true belief produces action, doesn't it? Another verse that we're all very familiar with in James chapter 1, verse 25. "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So all of our actions, all of our choices started off as a thought or a belief in the mind, in the inner man. That's why when Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." What is he talking about? What does repent mean? I think most of us here have a pretty good handle on this, but we'll go through it. Repent is translated in the New Testament from the word metanoia. Literally, metanoia is a Greek word meaning change of mind. There is more to it than just that, isn't there? In the New Testament, there's more to it than that. It's a kind of repentance. This kind of repentance is not about regret or guilt or shame. It implies making a decision to turn around, to face a new direction. Okay. So repentance is a changing of the mind to a completely new direction, a turn. And scripturally, it's the aligning of our thoughts and our minds with that of God. So repentance, is that a one-time thing? Nope, it's ongoing, isn't it? A construction of a new mindset. We have to construct it. A new creature, if you will. Something new. And this follows in line with the New Testament teaching, doesn't it? That first there is the natural and then the spiritual. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 45, it says, "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual." So we see, in order for God to carry out His eternal plan in the life of the Christian, He doesn't merely create a new and improved, fixing what was there. He flat out kills you and brings forth something new, a new creature. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ, with Christ." So that's the natural man. That's by nature, it said, by nature, children of wrath. That's the natural man. That's the fleshly man. It says, formerly walking. We all know where the walking part comes from, don't we? Comes from a belief or a mindset. Where are you living? Where are you living? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We're doing good. We might even get out of here early. Probably not. Romans depends on how fast you turn. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be filled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Scriptures talk about warfare a lot. A war between good and evil. And it's a war for the minds of men and women. We see this all around us every day. And we read it earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, "in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." The prince and the power of the air, that's Satan. And he's in control of the airwaves, so to speak. He's the accuser, the deceiver, the serpent of old. It says the prince of the power of the air. It's working through the mediums of this world, through culture. Through it permeates every facet of life, really. The TV, music, literature, social media, it's everywhere. Do you think we have to be concerned about our mindset? Oh, yeah. Because that's the war. The war for our thoughts. The war for our minds. Everything warring for our thoughts and our minds. Be careful what you see. And I struggle with this. Is probably why I'm bringing this out tonight. And I talk about the mindset a lot because that's where I just happen to be to struggle the most. Be careful what you hear. Choose wisely what you subject your mind to. Choose wisely. You choose. You choose. In Luke chapter 11, turn there if you would. Luke chapter 11, in verse 34, Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illuminated as when the lamp illumines you with its rays." We see with our physical eyes what What we see with our physical eyes, what we hear with our physical ears, does have an effect on how and what we see spiritually. Therefore, constructing our mindset, that information that we are bringing in, that's our choice. Okay? The information will construct the mindset. So choose wisely what you subject your mind to. So the reason that the describe people as being in the dark is because they can't see. They're blind. And no, that doesn't mean that they have an eye problem. They have a spirit problem. They can't see because they walk according to the world, according to the flesh and not the spirit. They are spiritually blind and deaf. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, something we're familiar with. Now, we have received the Spirit, not of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. These things are spiritually appraised. Having the mind of Christ, we can't have the mind of Christ and the mind of the world. It doesn't work. It can't work that way. God has gone through a lot of work to take man from the physical to the spiritual. Out with the old and in with the new. Out with the flesh, in with the spirit. He lifts us up. In John chapter 3, verse 5, we're familiar with this. Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So where are you living, Christian? Where were you born? It's a mindset. It's a belief. It's faith. The Bible tells us that faith is the victory, and also that without it, it's impossible to please God. So, where does faith come from? Well, most of us are familiar with this too. No new news. Romans chapter 10 and 17 says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So if you just hear the words of Christ, you have faith. Is that it? No. No, that information has to be processed, remember? Our brain has to process it for our mind. And then it becomes faith when you truly believe it. Right. So where does faith reside? Or where does it dwell? Or abide? To use all of them. As Steve Doty likes to say, just north of the roof of your mouth and directly behind your eyeballs. Right here. So I say, where are you living? Where am I living? It doesn't matter where I'm living physically, right? Where are you living? Where are you living? Are we living here or are we living there? I'm pointing down and up for those online. Where are we living? The mind. Faith resides in the mind and is based on information. Sometimes I think about looking back and how long it took me to get this. It's just basic. The mind. The perspective of the mindset is based on whatever information we feed it. So what information and what processes, if you will, that the mind is subjected to depends on the individual. It depends on choice. Choose wisely. Another popular verse that for many of us. Oh, and John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free indeed. Free from what? Free from what? Well, to start us, for starters, free from a life of slavery, right? Free from sin. Free from the old man. The old self that scriptures say to put off. Another popular verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. And behold, new things have come. So if there's a new creature, the implication there is that there was an old one, right? Pretty basic. Perhaps the old creature is the old man that the Bible talks about, or maybe the old mindset. You see, the implication is that we can't just change our external things that we do. We have to change our mindset, which is change the man, change the person. That's what repentance, as we covered, is talking about. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's turn there. Doing good on time. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's grab verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Most people in Christendom today, whether raised in a particular way or they just decided one day that they got to go to church, they got to start changing their ways, it's a religious thing. They're thinking that Christianity is about modifying our actions, about adjusting a particular behavior. If you've done a certain something in your life that you know that's wrong, and now all of a sudden you that behavior, you need to make an adjustment. It's a constant effort in adjusting of an action or a habit that we don't like. We're going to tweak it a bit. That's not what we read in scriptures. That's not what scriptures bear out, is it? It's not about the physical. That's not where God works. But God says He's going to kill you. Kill your old man and just get it completely out of the way. Scriptures say things like, we lay aside the old self and put to death the deeds of the flesh. You got to die. We got to die. That person has to die. Now, did anyone of us die physically in our immersion? No, it's not what it's talking about. It's speaking of a spiritual death, right? We all are pretty familiar with Romans chapter 6. We can turn there in closing. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3, or do you not know that all of us have been immersed into Christ Jesus, have been immersed into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through immersion into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Where does a Christian walk in newness of life? It's still that same old broken down life that we lived before. Is it something new? What's where we started off? Where are you living? In heaven? By faith? In the inner man? Having the mind and thoughts of Christ? Like Steve Doty likes to say, you were given the Spirit of God, the power of the Almighty Creator of all things, to go to church? No. Just to change your mind. Change who you are. So, where are you living, Christian? Where's your mindset? Where's your focus? Where do you abide? Where do you live? And I was telling my wife on the way here in the discussion that we have, what I'm bringing out and what many guys up here bring out, bring forth, is stuff that we recognize that we need to work on. It's important to us. So I'm speaking to myself and hopefully encouraging us all. Where do you live? Truly. Do everything you can to cultivate a spiritual mindset and then be diligent to protect it against fleshly, worldly insurgents. Protect it. Because there is a spiritual war going on, and it's for the minds and thoughts of men and women. So let us encourage one another with these things. All right? Thank you.